Nick is a mess. I have to say this as I was even preparing for today, and they sent that bumper video just so that we know what's coming and what we're following and all that. It took me back to my interview weekend. Just so you know, Amber and I came in February a year and a half ago, and you were in the middle of a series on generosity that, if you remember, was Nick in New York in that time. So I'm not saying Nick is the reason that I accepted the position here, but I don't want to downplay his role in that as well. I love all that he does and the things that make everyone else feel awkward for him, but it's going to be good. We get to talk about wisdom today. We're going to continue through this series called Before Google and talk about attaining wisdom and understanding what God has for us. And I think it's interesting that this weekend, here we are on Independence Day, 4th of July weekend, and many of us played with explosives yesterday. And now we're talking about wisdom. I told the Saturday night crowd, I think they were here just to try and figure out what we should do tonight. But I'm glad you all made it. I'm glad you all have most of your fingers left as well, which means you also used wisdom. Last week, Pastor Darren launched all into this, and we started talking about Proverbs chapter 1. And he asked you, has anyone in here ever made a really dumb decision? I didn't turn around and look because that would have been awkward, but there were a lot of hands up. Mine was up as well, and I have to tell you, here we are on 4th of July weekend, and one of the dumbest decisions I ever made happened to be with fireworks. I come from the state of Wisconsin. I'll get prayer later. I know, I understand. But one of the great things about the great state of Wisconsin is many of you drive over there to get fireworks because we are the land of cheap explosives that actually go up in the air. And that just don't act like you haven't done it before. I remember the first time I went to a fireworks stand in Minnesota, I was like, this is sparklers and bottle rockets. This isn't a birthday party, people. Come on. Give me the good stuff. So I grew up on a lake, and we would go out on the lake, and it was the lake is the best place to watch fireworks because you can see them from all across the lake, and there's different fireworks shows, and there becomes this competition of who can have the best fireworks show, and you're like competing with the guy across the lake that you have no idea who he is, but you're going to take him down this year. And so we decided when I was in early high school, my older brother's 2 years older than me, he was later in high school. He's also, because he's older, he takes the fall for every bad decision I've ever made in my life. It's his influence. So I'm blaming this on him. We decided with our haul of fireworks that we were, instead of launching them from our area down by the water, we were going to swim out to our family raft, because launching fireworks from the middle of the lake, that definitely wins, right? So not only do we have the best that like are about to explode in splendor above all of God's creation, and people are going to look to us as the ones who lit it all off, we were going to do it from the middle of the lake. The problem is our raft was about the size of this small platform that we're on. And so we started, and this was going to be a great idea. And we start lighting off some of the small stuff and some of the Roman candles and all of that. And we finally get to the mortars that you can buy, and you're supposed to mount the tube on the ground because it's rather large explosion when it takes off. We didn't think that far ahead, and here we are in the middle of our raft going, oh, it'll probably be fine, right? So we set it up, and we light it, and then my brother, who's also larger than me, gets a little bit giddy and does one of these like run things, which is completely fine on land, but we are on a floating object that then rocks and shakes. And this mortar falls over facing all of our family on the side that are there. And I, in this moment, have two options. I can either run at it, grab it, point it the right way, and possibly lose my hand. And I realized in that moment, I really like sports and I really like my hand, so I ain't doing that. So me and my brother both bail off the side of the raft, and I remember vividly hanging on to the bottom of the raft underneath it and watching this colorful blaze of glory in all of its splendor, thinking, our mom is going to kill us. We're good. And just a little bit of replaced all-purpose carpeting on the top of the raft. I think we were fine as well. The truth of the matter, though, is as much as we can joke around about poor wisdom choices in life that are funny, there's other times in life where without wisdom, it's a lot more serious than just lighting your raft on fire. There's times in life where without wisdom, you can fall into some really large and costly mistakes. So today, as we are talking throughout this entire series, kind of the root verse that we're talking about is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight." I think it's important for us as we look at this verse every week and come back to it that we realize we're not throwing away our knowledge, we're not throwing away our understanding, but what we're doing is we're placing it on someone's shoulders that's much wiser and smarter than we are. It's about placing it on God's shoulders and saying, all right, we're not going to base it on what we think we can see, but instead basing it on leaning on submitting to the ways of someone so much higher whose ways and thoughts are so much higher than ours. So as we dive into this today, we're going to take a look. Last week we looked at Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to look a little bit at Proverbs chapter 2 and 3. If you wanted to open up there, I just got to say this. I love the book of Proverbs. There's so much wisdom throughout Proverbs, and one of the ways that I dove into this is I realized in college that this is like ancient Twitter. If any of you are on Twitter, it's like 140 characters, that's all you get. In Proverbs, it's like, that's all you need. Every verse is 140 characters of like knowledge, wisdom bombs right there that you're like, that just changed my life. It preaches on its own. Go for it. I was flying through, and I've got to share this one. You can just flip to whatever you want and read something, and it's going to be good. And I remember doing that in college because I was supposed to be doing devotions, and I had forgot that day, so I pulled out Proverbs. It's what all Bible college students do. And I flipped to Proverbs 12:1. It's one of my favorites. I only get one shot in this. This is straight text from Scripture. You ready? It says, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid." I just think that's hilarious. Why in the world does the Bible say you're stupid? But there it is. That's not me. That's Scripture. So dive into Proverbs. This is a lot of fun, I tell you. So Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, we're going to start there. It says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God." I think it's important here that it starts out with my son. Store up these commands in your heart. And throughout the first even few chapters, when you read through Proverbs, it all starts with this, hey, my son, store these up in my heart. And I think it's important that it's not just saying head knowledge or obey me. He's not saying, hey, do this. He's saying it's a heart issue. I think so much of wisdom starts with an understanding of your heart and opening up your heart and saying, God, I want to do what is best. I want wisdom. I want to do what you have called me to do. It's not so much just about the outward action, but the submission of your heart. I know this because I have a 5 and a 3-year-old, and there's times where they do things that is obedience, and there's other times that they're doing it because they actually know that it's best for them. Think about the two actions that happen when I say, all right, guys, it's bedtime, and my 5-year-old says, okay, Dad, and is like, starts to pick up, and we start to go upstairs, and I was like, this is awesome. You can have 15 more minutes. That's a benefit of wisdom right there. That's what we're going to be talking about. Whereas the flip side of that is if he throws a fit and stomps up the stairs, the action is exactly the same. They're walking in the exact same direction and we're both going to bed. The final product is the same. But one of them gets the benefit of an extra 15 minutes. The other one probably doesn't get many benefits at all. As a matter of fact, may get a small teaching on Old Testament, spare the rod, spoil the child type moment when we get up to his room. But I think there's so much of that even that we need to understand as Christians and as humans that there's times where we don't just read through this and say, hey, I just want what's for today. I just want what I'm doing right now and I'm just going to obey because that's what I'm supposed to do. But there's a heart moment. And I think we need to understand as we dive into the rest of this series and start talking about practical how to apply wisdom. It's not just a, hey, magic wand, if we do this, then we get better things to happen. But instead, it's wisdom and it's a submission of our heart to go after all that God has for us. And then it goes on and says, in verses 2 through 4, it talks more about just going after it, seeking after it like treasure. Guys, wisdom is a quest. Wisdom isn't just something that is situational that you're like, hey, in that moment, I hope that I have wisdom. But it's something that we need to constantly be going after. It's something we need to constantly be diving into scripture for and trying to find out what God has for us. If you get to a moment and you realize, hey, I should probably get some wisdom, it's already too late. Which is why right at the beginning of Proverbs, they're saying, here's the deal, go after it with all that you have. Go after it with your heart. Go after what God has for you. It's just like in every day of our lives, nobody plans to get out of shape, but they also plan, they don't plan not to at times either. And you get to that moment and you don't realize there's natural drift in our lives that all of a sudden we find ourselves sometimes in unwise situations and we're like, oh no, God, we need wisdom. Whereas what scripture is telling us is if you continually, daily go after what God has for you, and then that's when you get to a moment people are like, wow, there's a lot of wisdom. And you're like, I didn't try to have wisdom in that moment, but it's our as we continue to train ourselves and go after what God has for us, amazing things happen. It's a daily pursuit of God's character, of what he would have for us, about what God would do in situations and why he has us in situations that we're at. And then verses 5 and 6, I love it, says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth knowledge and understanding come. The beginning of wisdom, where it all starts, is with a fear and an understanding of God, of who he is. And so often, this word fear, and I know we've talked about it before, and we've talked about what it actually means. It's not that you're scared of God, but there's a healthy respect and understanding. I hope that my kids never fear me in a sense where they're scared of what I'm going to do to them. But instead, there's an understanding that his ways are higher than ours, that God has a plan for us. And my fear in my life isn't that God is going to somehow strike me down if I get out. It's that I know that his plan is so much better than anything I could imagine. I'm scared of missing what God has for me. And I think there's so many times that we need to understand wisdom is understanding God's character, understanding what God has for us, and then going for that and applying it to earthly decisions and wisdom. And I think that as we continue to understand that and dive after what God has for us, it's amazing things can happen. The cool part is God gives us so many examples of wisdom. God gives us scripture upon scripture over and over again of people who have made decisions, and then we get to see from a different perspective what happened in their decisions, the consequences. Some of them were great. They followed God. They stepped out in faith and amazing things happened. Other times they were like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this. Read the Old Testament. Look at the Israelites. It's like, God, you saved us. You're amazing. We'll commit to you. And then waters are parted. And then the next chapter, they were like, and they forgot about him and made a golden calf and worshiped that instead. And they were struck down. And you're like, why do people keep doing this? They do it so that we can learn from it. Now, we don't make the same mistakes. One of my favorite books that changed the way that I read scripture is a book called The Divine Mentor by Wayne Cordero. And he talks about how every time you face a situation in life, there's someone in scripture that has faced it as well. And instead of just trying to figure out what is best for you, dive into scripture, because there's a time where you're going to go, oh my word, this is exactly what David was dealing with. I know how to deal with this. Or hey, Paul was in the same situation. I know what I can do now, and I know what the best thing is. And what he talks about in there is from 1 Corinthians 10, verse chapter 10, verse 11, sorry, that says this: these things happened and were recorded as an example for us. Scripture literally says the reason we're writing this down, the reason this is there, is so that you have an example of the way that you should follow, so that you can walk into your daily life now today with wisdom and follow what God has for us. So today we're going to dive into some of those benefits. What happens when we have wisdom? What happens? What do we gain? What amazing things do we get to walk in when we dive into wisdom? Verses 12 through 16 here, staying in chapter 2, says, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths and walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perversiveness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. It will save you also from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words. Two things are mentioned here. The benefits of wisdom is It will protect you from both evil people who are trying to lure you into their evil ways or evil situations, downfalls, pitfalls in your life that you need to avoid. What it's also going to do is it's going to help you avoid misleading emotions. So many times in life, you have either the first one where you're going, there's some people around you that you're like, hey, this would be great. You should do this. Hey, it's fine. Nobody's going to know. Or this is going to be so much fun. You should come along with and be a part of this. But there's that check in your spirit that you're like, yeah, I don't feel like that's going to end up well. Wisdom will help that check in your spirit win. You'll go, no, instead, we all need to go this way because this is going to be better for us. It's also going to save you from misleading emotions. It says in here that it will save you also from the adulteress with her way or the wayward wife with her seductive words. I think it's not a coincidence that this adulteress woman, the wayward wife, shows up 4 times in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs. There's so many times in our life where our emotions can get the best of us. And it's not just lust, it could be addiction or peer pressure, whatever it is, when you're there and all of a sudden that voice is like, hey, you know what, I deserve this. I should be able, this won't be that bad. Nobody's gonna find out. Whereas wisdom, what it does is it helps save you from those moments. It helps put you up and it helps set you up for what God has called you to do. Again, I mentioned earlier, it's not that it's a fear of God, it's a fear of missing out what God has for you. And when I look at the life of Paul, he's an amazing character. I love his life. I love the way that he teaches, but at the same time, I love how real that he is, even in talking about his own struggles. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he's talking about the race that we're all on in life. And we're all on this race, and we all run, and we all train for it, and we run as a way to get a prize. And in chapter 9, verse 27, he says, I beat my body to make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be qualified from the prize. What he's saying here is using wisdom and applying it to my life, I still struggle with things that could disqualify me from what God has called me to do. And while I'm out there and while I'm doing everything that God has called me to do, I'm still struggling with people who are going, hey, you should just call it quits. You know what? You've done a lot in your life. You've saved a lot of people. You've set up some churches. It's probably time to retire. Let's go hang out in Jerusalem for a while. Nice beach on the Mediterranean. They got this. It's fine. And he's saying, no, no, no. I'm going after what God has for me. And I'm sure there's moments where as Paul is preaching, there's people who see him as a person of respect, and there's people who want to be around him, and there's women who want to be around him. But every time he looks back at this and says, you know what? I have to make my emotions, I have to make my decisions a slave to what God has called me to do so that I'm not disqualified from the race. I also have something that I have to die for and I have to go after. And I think it's important for us to remember this over and over again, that wisdom gives us the ability to keep those emotions in check when we are tempted. And I'm not here just to say the whole time today that there's dangers out there and wisdom's going to help protect you. It's not all negative, but I'm saying there is stuff out there, and wisdom is the way that you can have victory over it. And you can have victory over your life, that when you get to the end, you can hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Yeah, I know what you went through. I saw what you went through. But you know what? You came after me. You went after all of my character. You had wisdom in situations where most people didn't. And because of that, welcome to the kingdom of God. And that's my prayer for everybody in River Valley Church, that when we get to that end, we say, we look back and say, man, I'm so glad that I went after all that God had for me. And I think the word for this that we use a lot is actually discernment, and having that discernment. It's one of those things that I've always wanted. I've prayed about it at times in my life and just said, you know what, God, I wish if I could just have discernment. I feel like so much could work better in life if I could just know what was coming, have discernment, and figure it out. Guys, if you don't have discernment, ask your wife. She'll tell you. I got a clap out of that one. Somebody out there, I don't know if your husband is sitting next to you in this moment. There's prayer teams at the end, but here's the deal. I truly believe that God puts people in your life that can help you out. My wife is one of them. I'm almost positive that in that moment when Jesus was about to ascend, he said, it's okay, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit, and he's going to come upon you. He's going to help you. And then he was like, and Brandon, you need a little extra, so I'm going to give you Amber too. And I was like, yes! Thank you, Jesus. But it's so true. It's so... that there's times in our life where we need to know, we need to listen to the Holy Spirit of what God has for us. Jumping over to chapter 3, verse 21, he says, "My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be a life for you, an ornament to grace your neck." When you have discernment and understand what God has for you and what is coming, which way to take, amazing things can happen. It also can help you avoid some crazy things. And I was actually teaching on this on Tuesday. We have our staff meeting, and this was something that God was dealing with me on. And he led me to Jeremiah 6:16. And it's one verse that I feel like in itself, when you break it down, is discernment. It's how to have discernment in your life. It says this, "This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask for where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." Breaking it down, it says this. It says, "This is what the Lord says." I love when scripture starts with, "This is what the Lord says," because it reminds me over and over again that this is not opinions of random people. This is the word of God. And while we're all here trying to figure out what is truth, and is truth relative, is my truth your truth, and what is truth, God is there and he says, "It's not that I know what truth is, it's that I am truth." This is the word of God. This is what God says. And he says this, he says, "Stand at the crossroads and look." When I look back at my life, and look at some of the decisions that I made, some of the poor decisions that I made, if I would have stopped for a second and just looked for a bit and gone, that route has a flaming raft in the middle of the lake. Probably not the way I should go. I think there's so many things that in that moment, if we would just stop for a second, survey the land, quiet yourself, pray for a moment and say, "God, what would you have for me?" It doesn't have to be this huge pause and it take months at a time of where you're just sitting there. But if we stop for a second and say, "God, where do you want me to go?" I think it's important. Stop, survey the land, stand at the crossroads and look. And then it says, "Ask for the ancient paths." I love that we are in a generation that values mentorship. I feel like it's almost even a new thing in the last couple of years where people are trying to find mentors. Because the truth is, wherever you're at in life, whatever you're about to face, someone has probably been there before. I know we talked about it with Scripture. There's times throughout Scripture that people have been everywhere that you've been, at every crossroads. Dive into Scripture. Find out what they did. Excuse me. Find somebody in your life that is older that has been where you've been. Whether it's in your job, there's someone who's already had that job before you or is further down the road or is doing it better than you are. Find them. Find out what it is. If it's in your marriage, find a couple who's been married for 50 years. Talk to them. I think it's crazy. The people that are there that you're like, "Man, 50 years and you're happy and you're loving it. That's great. How have you done it?" I guarantee it hasn't just been happy and great the entire time. If it has, they never had kids. But here it is though. Find people in your life and say, we want to end up great. We want to not disqualify ourselves from the race. We want to have what you have. Let us know. Most of those people that I've talked to have said, no, we want to do it so that you can stand on our shoulders so you can go further than we've gone. Find the ancient paths. Find people in your life. And then it says, ask for the good way. Crazy concept in the middle of it. You can ask God. In the middle of that moment for discernment, you can say, "God, what is the path that you have for me? God, where do you want me to go?" I love that we can celebrate communion this weekend. I love that we can celebrate the sacrifice that Jesus made of dying on the cross for our sins so that he can pay the price. But what I love even more is the fact that he rose from the grave. He did not stay in it. He's a living God. Therefore, we can have communication with him. And in that moment when you say, "Man, I need to know where I need to go. I need wisdom in this situation," God will speak to you. Over and over throughout Scripture, it says, "Ask, and I will give you knowledge. Ask, and I will give you the way and the path and the wisdom. Stand at my door and knock, and I will open it to you." Go after what God has for us. And then it says, "Walk in it." I think it's interesting that so often there's a lot of people that just love to ask for wisdom and then don't realize that wisdom and discernment is actually an action. When there's wisdom and discernment, you've got to be moving. You've got to be doing something. When God says, this is the way that you're supposed to go, you need to walk in it. Part of wisdom is knowing where to go and then ending up there at the end. If not, that's the difference between head knowledge and wisdom. There's a lot of people that know where they should be and what should be going on, and they have opinions about everything. But those that we look at and say, man, he is wise, are people who have been there and have done that and walked in it. There's times where you just need to say, all right, I've got the way to go. I know what you're calling me to do. It's time for me to step out and just go. That's where the faith comes in. That's where it's time for us to go forward. And I think it's important for us to understand, even as we talk about the next few weeks, of the practical knowledge and wisdom, how to apply this to our family members and our coworkers and our extended family and all of that. Part of it is the action that it takes to go there, to walk in it, go forward and move forward in it. And it says, and then you will find rest in your soul. I think it's interesting that rest in your soul throughout scripture, every time it talks about it, isn't like, hey, it's a really nice beach for a week. It's walking in the plan that God has for you. Freedom is being exactly where God has called you to. Rest in your soul is being exactly where God called you to, and understanding that peace is in the midst of what God has for you. And you continue to do this, and when we have discernment and when we have wisdom and we're walking forward as a church, there's an amazing peace to it. There's an amazing spirit to it of knowing that God is doing exactly what he meant to do in your life. People ask me all the time about the pace and the life of River Valley Church, and they're like, it seems crazy over there. What is going on? And I was like, you know what? I feel like I've done more in ministry in the last year than any other place, but for some reason, I'm refreshed more than I ever was. And it's because when you're going after what God has for you and walking in the plan that God has for you, there is a refreshment, there's a peace, there's excitement of what God is doing. And I think it's important for us. Wisdom is walking in the plan that God has for us. That's where peace shows up. And then it also gives us security. Even in that peace, it goes on, and in chapter 3, it continues on and says in verses 23 through 26, it says, then you'll go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, and when you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be confident, will be your confidence, and will keep your foot from the snare. Guys, there's a security that comes with making wise choices. There's a security that's like, you know what? I can sleep today knowing that I made the best decision possible. As opposed to the times where you're like laying down and Satan starts to play tricks on you and you're like, man, I hope they don't find out what happened. I hope she doesn't know what's going on right now. I hope people don't find out. There's an anxiety and there's a fear that comes with not having wisdom, a lack of wisdom. But one of the great benefits of wisdom is security in who you are and whose God's created you, a peace in what he has called you to do and where you're walking in this moment. So when you lay down, you can say, man, it was a good day full of good decisions, and I'm gonna get some rest because tomorrow I've got some other great decisions that I'm gonna go after God and do what he's called me to do for it. And I would say this too, a bonus one, as I was thinking through this message, I would also say that wisdom brings influence. I'll give you a quick story about my own life and something that I wasn't even trying to do. This is not a humble brag because I didn't mean to do it. At the end of our senior year of high school, as I'm sure a lot of people do still in schools, you get all these random awards that are like most athletic and most likely to succeed and best hair and all that stuff. I don't know. Again, being an athlete, I was like, all right, I'm gunning for two things, either most athletic or most likely to succeed, because those are the big ones. Like, that's where you want your name at, all right? As a basketball player, we're going to do this. And they came out, and I ended up with most respected, all right? Which seems really cool now at 32, and you're like, hey, this is great. But at 18, I was like, respected? That wasn't working for that. So it comes out, and I'm talking with some of my friends, and I was like, I got most respected. And they were like, oh, yeah, we totally voted for you for that. And I was like, why? And they said, it's funny, because all of our friends, we all like started going to parties and started dating everybody and stuff like that in like seventh grade. And in seventh and eighth grade, you never came to the parties and you never drank. And we were like, oh, it's fine. Wait till you get into high school. Just wait. And they're like, you made it through middle school and you actually made it all the way through high school. And you actually stood by your word. And it was a moment where I was like, I wasn't trying to gain influence or gain respect in that moment. But there was wisdom in going, you know what, that's not good for my life, so I'm going to stand firm in my convictions and what God has called me to do. And while I may not have seen it in the middle of temptation, and I may not have seen it in the middle of them all going, come on, you want to do this, you're funny now, you'd be hilarious like this, come on over. But the truth of the matter is why this is important in our lives, and why we as a church, it's important to us, is because we are not placed on this earth just to have wisdom. We're not placed on this earth just to skate through life and avoid pitfalls and avoid temptations and evil desires. We're placed here, as the Great Commission says, to influence this world. We are placed here to go into all the world and make disciples. And when you have wisdom and when you gain influence, it sets you up to be able to have that conversation and not have people look at you, just like Paul said, and say, after I've preached, I don't want to disqualify myself from the race. When you go out and say, hey, this is what I believe, this is where I go to church, and this is what I live for, and people go, did you see yourself last night? All of a sudden, that's all gone. But when wisdom comes in and we make wise choices and we go after what God has for us and we follow his character, then when we stand there and say, hey, this is why I believe it, even though you may not be living in it right now, even young people here, I urge you, as much as temptation may come through your high school years and your college years and even into middle school years, when you stand firm in your convictions, people notice. And it gives you a platform to then do what God has called you to do, which is to be a light to this world. And that's why we're here. That's the importance of making sure that we have wisdom in everything that we do, so that as we go forward, one of the benefits that we have is that God's word from our mouths does not come back void. God's word through us can impact the generations and the people around us. So today, as we close, as you bow your heads and then close your eyes, I just want to do this. I want to pray over you. I want to pray wisdom over you. But last night, as I was wrapping this up, I just felt urged to ask those of you who are walking in a situation right now where you know you need wisdom, to raise your hand. I was overwhelmed with people that were like, I need it right now. So today, same thing. If you're in a situation right now where you're like, man, I've got some crazy decisions, I need some wisdom right now coming up in my life, would you raise your hand? I just want to say a special prayer over you. Man, hands all over the room. Thank God that he gives wisdom and knowledge freely. Thank God that we can tap into the Holy Spirit and he can guide and direct us in situations in our life. God, I thank you for these people. God, I thank you for the world that you've placed us in. At times it seems so crazy. At times it seems so fallen. But yet at the same time, you place us here to have wisdom so that we can be your ambassadors in the middle of it. And God, I pray for those who raise their hand, who have specific situations in their life, Lord God. I pray that you speak in those situations. I pray for wherever they're walking, wherever they're going to, whatever, wherever that decision is, Lord God, I pray that you're already working on the other side, as I know you can already do. Set it up, let it be fertile soil so that the wise choices can be received well. God, I pray for the rest of us that we continue the pursuit, even if we're not in the middle of a moment right now, that we continue the pursuit so when that moment arises, we have wisdom. We can hear your voice. We're already in tune with who you are. God, I don't pray that just so that we can somehow be blessed and have benefits and then be entitled to gifts. That's not what we have. But I pray for these benefits so that we can be a light to this world, so that we can be what you have called us to be. God, we submit to you again today. Guide us, direct us. We promise to give you all the praise and all the glory as people realize that it's a wisdom higher than our own, a knowledge and thoughts that are higher than our own. We promise to give you glory and praise in those moments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you stand with me? I'm going to ask the prayer teams to make their way forward. If you raised your hand and if you were like, man, I've got a decision, I need some wisdom, these people would love to pray with you. they would love to just stand here. Let us be the church. We are a family. We want to lift you up. We want to encourage you. We want to give you words of wisdom. I pray that every week that you come in here, our staff, our prayer teams, that we work in the realm of the prophetic. And I believe that even in these moments that God can give people words to speak into your life and they don't even know the situation. Please come on forward. Use the prayer team on a weekly basis. My prayer is that if God started in something in you today, that you don't leave till you finish it. Let God finish his work so when we leave here, we can leave blessed and excited about what God has for us. Amen? It's going to be a great week. Can't wait to see you again next week. Go with God. Have a great week serving God. Amen.